Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Byrd. I am Willie B. Fired up today, man. We're talking all the goods you could ever hope for. There's some builds you see, and you know this person knew who to talk to, knew where to go, knew what he wanted. And I love the purpose-built stuff. Some people just throw their stuff together. I'm just trying to make something go fast. Other people, man, have all this architecture and fluidity and design incorporated in how they want this thing to look. And when it comes to really building a hot rod, teeing it up nicely, man, do we have a special cool guest for you today. Ooh, I can't wait to talk to him and bring him into the fold. Kevin, I know you're excited.
No doubt. I mean, this is where, right, you get your powertrain. You put it in your favorite car, whether it's naturally aspirated or boosted. Now you got a lot of stringing things together, right? Obviously, your wiring harness, but you got fuel system, you got cooling, you got inlet, whatever that is, boost system, right? Pressurized, naturally aspirated on the cold side. You got the hot side, all the headers. All that stuff has to get strung together. Well, sometimes, a lot of times, you have real simple setups, right? You put an air filter on top, you get a set of headers, boom, you buy a kit of exhaust, there you go. But most of us, or a lot of us anyway, are out there really pushing the limits. We're doing stuff unique. We're doing stuff that hasn't been done before. We're doing it unique and in our own way. And this is where you need somebody like Vibrant, where you can get all the goodies, all the pre-bent tubing that you can cut up and weld back together, all the connections, the clamps, everything to run basically that engine in your car, and do it the way you want to do it, like you said, Willie, right? Make it look professional. Make it robust and durable so you can't just make power one time or two times, make a couple passes. Every single pass, every time you hit the track, man, that stuff is righteous. And, you know, there's a lot of tricks in there. So we've got our man Kyle from Vibrant, man. This guy really helps us out. Everybody, right? You call on the tech line, you ask for some advice. Yeah. Kyle's going to be there giving it to you. What grade of stainless steel should I get? What wall thickness? You know, what's your application? What are you doing with it? My man Kyle is right there helping you size stuff appropriately. And that's big, man, because you could spend some big dollars getting a car set up. But if you don't do it right, man, you're just going to feel like a fool. So you want to do it the right way the first time. So it's awesome.
Kyle Halatali from Vibrant, welcome to the podcast, my man. Cool of you to spend some time with us, man. We're excited to talk to you, bro. How'd you first get into this crazy car culture, man?
Man, that's a tough one. I guess I kind of come from a bit of a car family. My dad is really into cars. Growing up, he lived in Florida. He had like some old Celica and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean,
those are popular, man, big time.
Yeah, exactly. He likes everything too. Like, he's a big Jaguar guy too. Super into Jaguar.
So like, yeah. Well, I got a 71 E-Type up in the shop up there, man.
Ooh, he would love that.
Oh, V12. Yeah. Those are such cool cars. That's a Jaguar has so much engineering in the early days. It's just mind-blowing to look underneath them and see what they were doing. Crazy. Such a departure from where we were at 1970, you know? Just like, what? Crazy. Even to this day, it's kind of wild looking underneath them. So it was obviously the dad. That's such a cool way to come into the business, right? My dad planted a little seed. Kevin found his way into the car world via the lonesome road of not wanting to take it to shops and fixing it yourself. So, man.
Trial and error, man, and not having any cash.
Yeah, so look, we love it, man. Anxious to talk to you today. Anxious to kind of pick your brain about, you know, what's hot, what's not. Where that heat should be, where it shouldn't be, is how you live in that game, man. And just where you see this crazy performance world going. We oftentimes take for granted where we're at performance-wise and power. But when we step back and look at it, God, we're in a heyday, man. It's amazing the cars that are out there. And it's amazing what people are doing to boost those up to even bigger numbers. You know, it's crazy when you buy a car with 800 horsepower pretty much across the board nowadays. All the manufacturers are offering something with outrageous horsepower numbers. But now people are taking them, whether it's an Audi R8, you know, a GTR, something American Muscle, and they're stuffing some, you know, some hair dryers on it. And my God, dude, they're making ungodly power. So how do you make all of that work, the functionality of it? How do you get all that heat away from it when you need it to be? Man, you guys do a great job at all of it. So let's take a break. When we come back, let's pick his brain a little bit. Have you guys ever been curious about what clamp you should use? At what pressure? You know, maybe you need to upgrade that stuff. I mean, that's a topic we don't normally broach, but what a good person to have and sort of pick his brain on. All kinds of cool stuff coming at you next on the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B. We're back after the break. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B. Fired up today, man. Check out Vibrant Performance, you guys. It's amazing stuff, right? All the cool sauce you guys need to make things go fiery fast and all kinds of fun. We got Kyle Hayatali from Vibrant on. And hey, Kyle, man, we kind of found out how you got into this, right? Dad, performance, man, making things go fast, go quick, and trying to keep it all on the road at the same time. What led you to becoming a part of Vibrant? How did that sort of go? And then we'll get into some technical stuff because I know you're great at it. You're such a cog in the wheel, man. You do a lot of the engineering stuff yourself, right? You're out in the shop turning wrenches, doing product development, kind of living it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely part of like the full life cycle here. Everything from product design, development, tech support, even marketing. Like, we've been doing a YouTube series on my car, so I get into a little bit of everything.
And what kind of car is that?
I have an RX-7. I don't know if you kind of see me. It's on the hoist there.
Okay. Right
there.
Yeah.
An old RX-7, 87. We just did a nice turbo upgrade. Full Vibrant catalog just got thrown at it.
A little bit bigger turbo on there and everything. What do you think for power?
Yeah, so I went with the BorgWarner EFR. I'm honestly hoping for just like 400 horsepower. I know we were talking earlier that everything's like 800 now, but I mean 400 is good for me.
Yeah, but it weighs 1,500 pounds.
no doubt.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't have so much to move around like the big muscle car. So
exactly. Yeah.
So still working the rotary setup.
Yeah, I mean the original one blew up as rotaries do. So I had to rebuild that, but did a full port on it. So yeah, it should make some jam.
A rotary is such a wild engine, man. When you're looking at how the traditional pushrod engine works and you know how that thing makes the fire and gets it out, you know, basically that air pump, you look at how a rotary works and you're like, well, that's just the oddest thing I've ever seen. But really, when you start winding them up, they can make some power, man. It's kind of wild. Cool that you're still rocking that 87, man. That's gotta be a different sort of car and a lot of eyes and attention, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I mean, to be honest, the shell is a little beat and it needs some attention, but it turns heads. You know, people don't see those.
When you go flying by, that definitely turns heads, and that's kind of the funnest part. You know, like you can have a shiny car, but if you're going slow, not so much on the good side. But tell us a little bit about that setup. So you got the big turbo. You're running about 400 horsepower. Are you running like factory manifold? Did you fabricate something? What are you doing for intercooler on the boost side, the cold side? What'd you do to set this thing up?
Yeah. So we did a full custom 321 manifold. I actually pulled it off of the car. It's right here.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had, I'm a bit of a novice fabricator myself. So we actually brought in a fabricator from California. His name's Tanner Goki from Goki's Garage. But it's pretty cool, like what we did. So we had the car fully 3D scanned. We have videos on that, and you can see it on my Instagram too. So we had it fully 3D scanned. Then I designed a full turbo kit for the car in SolidWorks. I designed a manifold. I designed a V-mount setup. I don't know if you're familiar with V-mounts. It's a popular thing with RX-7s. Did that full HD clamps. This is a little mini charge tube that I got.
Very nice.
On the car.
That's cool. A little baby charge tube. Look at that.
It's kind of funny, you know, when you talk about 3D printing, you're like, oh my God, that's the future. I remember, you know, so many years ago, like, you know, plasma cutter or plasma table. You know, but they're just creeping up to where the accessibility is kind of getting there. You know, even if you don't have one in your garage, somebody somewhere, like, and to do a setup like that in CAD, right? Because the old school way would be, you know, put all the little pie shape cut pieces together and, you know, have some scrap laying on the ground from all this, you know, configurations that you didn't like. But, you know, you end up kind of piecing it together. You've got yourself a roadmap, which is pretty slick. And, you know, to be honest, guys, anybody out there that hasn't done it, you can go both ways, right? You can do the old school way where you set the turbo in some kind of makeshift bracket where you want it.
Yep.
You put the flanges on both the turbo side, on the exhaust side, and then you just connect the dots. You know, you can show that manifold again. It's looks like a bifurcated turbo. So it's got two exhaust runners coming into the turbo. It's kind of split and separated the whole way and then into the turbo. Now, what tubing? You said you use 321 stainless?
Yeah, 321, 16 gauge.
16 gauge. Okay.
Yeah.
And your flanges, did you get those online somewhere? Do you guys sell flanges as well?
Yeah, we sell flanges. So the rotary flange, we do not sell as of yet, but we are going to – I made sure to tell everybody we need to start stocking these. so that's going to be a new product. And then the T4 flange, we sell already. And then I got some EGT bungs and some EMAP bungs too.
Nice. Now a turbo side exhaust, right? We think about making, let's say, a header. So minus a turbo. You can run some pretty thin wall tubing, right? Especially if you run a stainless steel. Especially, you know, if you do a 304, that's a decent grade. Yep. 321 is a higher grade stainless. You can go pretty thin. Like it starts to get that little ting, ting, ting sound to it because it's thin, but it can save you a lot of weight and it's super durable. When you put a turbo on it, you're putting a cork in the system, for one. Mm-hmm. So you're building up a lot more heat and pressure in there. And you're hanging a big mass off of it. You know, it's one thing to have your exhaust system tubing dangling off the back of your header, but now you got this big turbo. So what do you have on the exhaust side when you start getting heavier and heavier, you know, bigger size turbos, more heat, you know, more kind of damage cycles? What do you guys step up to after the tubing?
Right. So at that point, you're probably going to be looking at a schedule manifold.
Yep.
304 schedule 10. I know some guys go even up to schedule 40, but that's kind of dying down a little bit more now. We're starting to see a lot of suggestions for 321 schedule 10.
There you go. Yeah, splitting the difference. All right. So schedule is just a different way of talking about the wall thickness. And these are cast stainless. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So it's not a tubing anymore. It's kind of a mandrel, you know, drawn over tube like you think of a header. It's a cast, you know, tube, and you can have all the different radii, you know, of the bends. Mm-hmm. And you do it the same way. It just happens to be thicker, right? Yeah. So it's going to be a little bit more work to cut and prep. But once you weld it all together, you got yourself a badass little beast. And you'll see everything from OEM is primarily a cast stainless of some sort. It's just a whole manifold, where in this case, you're kind of cutting and then welding it together.
Yeah, exactly.
Very nice, man. So you got everything on the exhaust side as far as wastegates, like external wastegates, those kind of things too, or?
Yeah, so basically, like, we sell all the fabrication components that you'd need. So we have a bunch of wastegate flanges, all the turbo flanges you'll need, all the tubing, all the, like, random little accessories like oxygen sensor bungs, EGT bungs, stuff like that.
All the pieces you need to complete the system, right?
Exactly.
All those things that you don't necessarily think about. You probably think about what kind of piping, what kind of bends, some things like that. But a lot of people aren't thinking, how do I wrap everything up? Where do I get all the, you know, the V-band clamps, the bungs I need, the radiuses, the pie cuts, the everything from one-stop shop that I can go in and go, bam, now I'm going to be able to complete the project. That's you guys, man. That's what you guys are really knocking out of the park with.
Yeah, and like we often like consider ourselves similar to like a Home Depot of car fabrication, right? Because
you know,
So you could come to us, you could buy your stainless, you could buy your flanges and build what you want pretty much. Bring your own turbo, but we got everything else.
Yeah, I mean, and
BYOT.
You know, and an obvious thing is when you're going to do something like this, right, you really want to have your whole plan start to finish, right? Your gasket to your flange, everything in between, right? And how you're going to mate to the next component down the line. And that's where you guys really help kind of fill in almost all the blanks, if not all of them. Because, you know, you can start building something and then you just, I wasn't really thinking. Now what am I going to do? But you have all those solutions. Now, on the exhaust side, where do you see people kind of making mistakes?
Yeah. So if we're talking exhaust, like full exhaust beyond the manifold, one big thing that we always see is that people will forget to use a flexible joint or they'll use the wrong flex joint.
Okay, what's a wrong flex joint?
Fill us in on that.
Okay, real quick on a flex joint. You got your header coming straight from the engine, right? It's a solid piece. And if you connect, right, a solid connection all the way about the back, you've got everything from your engine shaking, right? So your whole powertrain is rocking, especially, you know, rev your engine and watch your engine rock back and forth. Then you have all the thermal expansions. Yep. So, and then you just have all the bouncing and everything trying to, you know, bend that whole heavy system back and forth, and somewhere is going to break, right?
Well, just constant vibration, the constant vibration of road chatter and anything performance is going to really rattle the cage and test it. You got to have a flex joint in there just to ease up on all that stress that environment creates. So, well, you said wrong flex joint, though. That interested me. Explain that a little bit and why people slide into that rabbit hole.
Yeah, so I mean, at Vibrant, we sell a bunch of different types of flex joints, but one that people often want to use is what we call a bellows.
Yeah,
the bellows has a solid internal liner, but you can see those nice corrugations from the outside. And I guess people really like how it looks because they look pretty cool, right? But they want to end up using it in their exhaust system. Now, the thing about a bellows like that with a solid liner, you don't actually get a lot of that flexibility. What you end up getting with a bellows is actual thermal expansion. Yep. So those are really great for like wastegate pipes that are recirculating, crossover pipes and V8, stuff like that, where you're going to want to compensate for some thermal growth. But that's not necessarily something you'd want to put under your car. First off, those plies are super thin and a rock could pretty much mess them up.
Puncture, yeah.
And you're not going to actually get that vibration that you need. So we typically recommend going with a flex joint with a interlock liner or a braided liner, something like that.
Yeah, and you can usually see them, if you're not familiar, kind of looks like, you know, braided hose lines that you see on a fuel system just swelling up to 2.5, 3 inches, right? Kind of bulbous and, you know, looks like you could kind of, you know, wiggle both ends.
Kevin, come on. We know you had the steel braided radiator hose on that 84 Camaro of yours back in the day, man. It looks a lot like that. Just, you know,
yeah, that sleeving that was popular for a little while.
Yeah, man.
You couldn't tighten your hose clamp without poking 6 holes in your fingers, you know.
Like, it left a little DNA every time you messed with it, but yeah.
Right on, man. So anything else on the exhaust side from headers to the exhaust system?
Well, tell
to
us
more
mistakes
turbos.
Because I'm all about helping the people out. So one more quick mistake, and then we'll come back and do some more. So what's another thing that people tend to mess up on, or where do they tend not to spend the money that they should? A lot of people are always like, man, I need the best deal. I need to cut corners here and there. Mm-hmm. There's a few places you can never cut corners. Where are people guilty of that at?
Not enough hangers, too many hangers, constrained hangers, anything else in that category?
Yeah, so hangers, that's actually definitely a good one. So people will often want to, you know, throw, like we also sell mufflers and resonators too, right? So people will throw in a muffler or resonator and then not compensate for it with a hanger. And then, you know, they come to us when they have a cracked weld and it's like, well, hold on, maybe we should have supported it a little bit better. And I mean, it's tough to tell somebody that, but yeah, that's definitely something that we see. You know, if you think about it, like you're talking about how your engine's moving, everything's moving. And let's say it's a hard street car or something, right? That exhaust is going to experience a lot of bouncing around, right? And if it's just like a lever arm on that muffler,
a long lever arm, that's a long pipe with some heavy stuff on it, you know?
Exactly.
So if you don't think it's moving around, build a system without enough clearance so it's banging on the tunnel somewhere and you'll hear it just
Oh man, 100%.
You know, it is just thrashing around in there. Well, good stuff, no doubt, man. We'll take a quick break. Throw us out, Willie. When we come back, and we can jump over to the cold side because there's a lot of great tips on that side as well. And everybody out there is wanting to build boosts, so that's a hot topic. So we can jump into some of that.
Yeah,
great
man.
Action.
We'll talk about that. Maybe cover, if we have time, some fuel systems as well. Back in just a minute. It's the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He's Kevin Bird. I'm Willie B. And we'll see you in a second. It is the Two Guys Garage Podcast. He is Kevin Bird. I am Willie B. And we have our man Kyle on from Vibrant. Do us a favor. Go to Vibrant Performance, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about online. Man, they have some amazing and gorgeous stuff. I got to ask, man, have you ever seen some of your stuff? It's like, here we do a car show. It's got a lot of cars, a lot of rat rods, right? You ever seen that rat rod builder that takes all your, like, pie cuts and does... Now, he wants it to appear like this on purpose, but he's real meticulous. We'll do a TIG weld, and he'll on purpose leave everything exposed but cover it with some nice color or bring some nice color out in a pipe where everything looks Frankenstein, but the closer you look, the more you see how unique and awesome it really was, and he ties it all together with some cool personality and metalwork. It's wild what people are doing with exhaust, what people are doing with, you know, just the metalwork in and around the hot side of turbos. It's got to be cool for you to see that payoff with some of these cool projects and some of these cars going unreal fast nowadays.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, we see a lot of it. I help out with the marketing side a lot, too. So I speak to a lot of our sponsored guys, and I help them along with the project from the beginning. And then you see it at the end. It's like, wow, that came out amazing. Like, you go to SEMA, and it's like, this is crazy.
Yeah, man. Way cool.
But you can turn it into artwork. You know, it's something that the OEs forever have just kind of not paid attention to in terms of anything except just basic function. Does it work? Lowest cost.
Yeah.
And then here we are on the outside going, man, I can do something with that. I can make it look wicked. I can make it one of the coolest parts of my car. I mean, you walk up to a cool race car, whether it's a top fuel car, and you see the zoomies coming out the side.
Yeah.
Like,
just
seeing these pipes coming out the side gives you a certain, you know, rumble in your gut and a little excitement going on, you know, pumping in the heart, let alone, you know, a race car with some badass headers, some exhaust come out the back. And like you said, Willie, that fabrication, some of the colors you can get in the stainless, especially in the titanium.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, man. It's just nuts seeing where it's all going. And you guys make all these cool, intricate pieces that make those really difficult jobs. Because you look at it, you're just stunned at how tight the piping is ran. And you see all the, you know, exposed pie cuts and welds and just how much time and effort was involved. And just sit back and see the person that designed that, you know, with all the integral pieces. And you guys provide all that, making that job much easier for him than having to do all that himself. Huge relief on the guy that's building it, on that team, on that family or whatever, that, you know, that DIY guy that wants to try to tackle something like that. Man, crazy help for him. Let's talk about a little bit more about, you know, sort of the hot side. Any other mistakes on the hot side now that we're talking about some of this cool piping and some of the stuff? Maybe thermal management. A lot of people forget, you know, how to protect other aspects in the car from a lot of that piping. What would you recommend there? Any mistakes made on that side?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I mean, just in general for automotive, thermal management is like one of the biggest things. That's where you lose a lot of efficiencies. It could really make or break your car. So at Vibrant, we sell, on top of, you know, the tubing and all that stuff, we also sell heat shielding. Heat shielding is super critical, especially with a car like mine. If you're familiar with rotaries, the exhaust manifold is actually on the same side as the intake. So you could very easily heat soak that intake manifold, right? So
no doubt. And the fuel lines and everything else.
Yeah.
Inlet air temps start, you know, climbing, I imagine, on a day pretty fast.
Oh, yeah.
And you can get near fuel lines. You can get near brake lines. You can get near your shoe and melt the rubber off. I mean, there's a lot of areas. You got to walk it from front to back, knowing that it gets a little cooler towards the back end, but still hot. But that front end, especially when you're around a turbo, hot exhaust manifold, yeah, it's nice that you got that kind of stuff. And then for the headers, we talked about tubing. You have the collectors as well?
Yep, we got collectors. Yep.
Okay. And then we're seeing over the years a lot of different styles of flanges for exhaust, right? In the old days, you had the three-bolt flange with kind of the crappy papery gasket in there. And man, did it always blow out. And you tighten the bolts more, and then the flanges are all bent. And it's horrible. But we've moved into some really much better modern territory. You've got Marmon flanges, V-band flanges on one end of things. And then the OEs are really going to this slip fit with kind of a little notch out of the tube. What's your preference? What do you recommend? Is it kind of personal preference? What are you seeing out there? What's pretty common, popular? What works real well?
Yeah. Do you know what? Sometimes it comes down to the application, depending where you have space and clearances and stuff like that. But in general, me personally, and I think a lot of people, V-bands, V-band everything. We just did a full exhaust on my car. I made sure to throw in as many V-bands as I could.
Yeah. As many as you could.
Same,
that's awesome.
Same as I tell everybody, man, V-band everything. You won't have any problems with it. And that way, future failures, you could just, put them off when anything coming to the exhaust or holding that piping together. V-band everything.
Yeah, test pipes too, even.
Yep. The one thing about a V-band is it does take up more room because it's a bigger diameter than the pipe.
Sure, yes.
So for a lot of us that run super low stuff, it can be tricky with that flange hanging down, and you can grab, a speed curb or whatever. That's something to think about. But that's the only downside that I can ever imagine with a V-band.
Yeah.
It's just packaging and hanging down a little bit for those really low cars.
Exactly. And that's a valid point. And that's kind of what I was getting at with applications. So in a case like that, then yeah, maybe a two-bolt flange, three-bolt flange, or even the slip fits that you're talking about. Slip fits are, we sell double slips, which are really nice. They create a nice.
Yeah, explain a little bit about the double slip. How does that one work different?
Right. So, man, I wish I had one, but it's like a cone, a tube, and concentrically there's another tube inside of it. So there's mm-hmm. a sleeve that you could slide your tube into, and then you could use something like a spring clamp or something to hold it together.
Does it still have on the outer, right? So your tube's going over a tube, but you have another tube welded and it slides over the top. So you have a really torturous path without even clamping for gases to get out.
And then
do you have the slot still so you can get it to close on the OD, or how do you get it to hold the two pipes together?
So we don't use slots, but what we pretty much do is a pretty tight slip fit.
Okay.
There's two things about slip fits, double slips, in that is, first, typically what you end up seeing is that the inside tube heats up before the outside, so it ends up expanding and creating a nice seal. So that's one. And then also, once it builds up some carbon, that carbon kind of acts as a seal too. So after you've ran a double slip for a few runs, it's pretty sealed up.
Nice, because you have slip fit header tubes that go into like a collector, and it works similarly on a single slip where the inner tube gets hotter, so it's expanding more and just naturally expands out and seals. But this is a double, which is kind of slick. I might have to try one of those. They work pretty good, you say?
Yeah.
And would
you
do it from like a header connection to an exhaust, or like a two-piece exhaust where you got to get it up and over, a cross member or something like that? Would you do it in that kind of joint or at a muffler? Where's the best place to use a double slip?
A place that I often recommend is from an exhaust manifold into an exhaust system. So how we were talking about bellows and flex joints earlier, sometimes a bellows in like a crazy high horsepower car could be kind of violent to that bellows. So if you want thermal expansion, and a double slip actually does provide that, right? So once it heats up, it'll actually start to linearly move and you'll still get a nice sealed connection. So that's a common place that I recommend it.
So from a header to an exhaust.
Yeah. Yeah.
And would you still need, like, right, obviously it's case by case and it's how your system is routed, how heavy it is and what kind of hangers you have, how much engine rock and movement, but can you run a double slip without a bellows? I mean, without a flex joint? Or would you still need one?
You certainly can. Again, it's one of those, like you said, case by case basis. Depends how much movement you're getting in certain areas, but it does provide a lot of nice linear thermal growth, right?
Yeah. Very cool. Huh. Very cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Who knew there was that much going on with the exhaust, let alone everything else? What else are you guys working on, you know, as far as problem solving? What about fuel systems? There's all kinds of fails when it comes to fuel systems. When you know, we only got about 4 or 5 minutes. What would you say is some of the big epic failures when people are building fuel systems they're not necessarily thinking about?
Yeah. There's probably a couple. So at Vibrant, we sell a few different types of lines and fittings. So one thing I'd definitely say is using the wrong type of line. So, our like premium best line is our PTFE hose, right? So PTFE is essentially just like, Teflon, right? Now that's good for, E85, methanol, all those other crazy race fuels, right? So oftentimes we see that people are not using PTFE when they probably should be using PTFE. You know, a traditional rubber hose typically won't handle all these like crazy alcohols, right? It'll start to permeate through.
Even E85 makes it break down really quick. The rubber in there
exactly
just degrades real fast. So yeah, man, always make sure you got right fuel system, you know, in corporation in conjunction with the fuel you're running. What about, you know, fuel delivery, pumps? Any mistakes people commonly make there? Undersized or oversized lines? Is there something to be said about having too big of a line or too small of a line, return lines? Can you run different lines for return lines than you can for delivery? What about regulators, things like that? You guys sort of knocking down problems with those?
Yeah, well, so we don't sell any of like those big products, just essentially the lines. But typically, we don't see issues with people oversizing lines usually. I haven't personally seen any problems with anybody doing something like that. But where I have seen is where somebody undersizes a line, and then you start to notice it starts to choke out, whether maybe you're starting to experience a lean condition or something like that when you're in those higher RPMs, right? So generally speaking, it's good to do a little bit of research, see what other people are running for that particular pump or setup that you're aiming to achieve. But I mean, standard for most cars is a -6 or -8 fuel line. We're starting to see a lot more high horsepower cars even going to -10 and 12, which is crazy for me because, like I said, I got a rotary that it's a tiny engine. So
that's a garden hose.
Yeah, no doubt.
Hose too. That's awesome, man.
Well, it's nice too because a lot of it's in the fittings, right? And as you said, you got to match the type of line, type of hose with the right fitting. There's a lot of different constructions in the hose and stuff, the lines. But there's a lot of great trick fittings that help you get from, you know, a factory type to AN conversion and swivels and all sorts of stuff. So check out their lineup to figure out, you know, how you can best use the right bits and pieces to make your job easier. And I'm a proponent. We talked earlier about exhaust, how to make it look really bitchin'. I'm a proponent of really taking all those lines that you can just crisscross and make look crappy and just kind of making it look right, like you've thought it out. Make it look good. And the right fittings and pieces and parts can help you do that. So it doesn't look like you just come off of something and then, oh, that's not the direction I wanted. And then you bend the hose around the other way because you can get it to work, but it just doesn't look, you know, professional.
Yeah.
And everybody can be professional if they think it through, right? Your stuff can look as good as anybody else's just by a little planning.
Exactly. And, you know, we sell a bunch of different angles and options for you too, right? You could make some nice tight radius bends with a banjo, or we have some nice forged fittings. But yeah, you're going to want to explore different angles because in general, you kind of don't want to do a ton of bending in your hose just so you don't risk kinking it and stuff like that, right? So when you could do a bend in your fitting, that's always, it's always nice. We actually recently just filmed a PTFE installation video on my Arc 7 that I kind of go over a lot of that different stuff. Like you're saying, making different transitions, I'm using the factory hard lines under my car.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We sell these nice tube to AN adapters that came in handy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool stuff like that you could find, man. And speaking of where to find it and where to see it on YouTube, where do people find all of this stuff? Where to kind of lead us down that path where people can see some of those videos you're talking mm-hmm. about and some of these products?
Yeah. So the videos would just be a Vibrant Performance TV on YouTube. We got all sorts of nice build content, not just my RX-7. We got a nice Fox Body Mustang that's on there somewhat frequently now, and some employee cars, some product videos, stuff like that. New product releases, that's a good place for that too. Instagram, just Vibrant_Performance. But then, yeah, in terms of products, VibrantPerformance.com, and all of our parts are available through distribution. So for guys that buy through like Turn 14, Summit, Jegs, you know.
Yeah, that's yeah. All right. There you go, man. Sweet. And don't forget about our show. You can find that on the Motor Trend Network, airing on weekends, which is always a great way to find us. Thanks to our guest, Kyle from Vibrant Performance. Check that out online, and definitely give him some love on all the social media sites. Cool, man. Informative. Great to have you on, man. That was just that went by super fast. Thanks to our producer, Scoop, executive producer, Bob Ecker. I'm Willie B. He's Kevin Bird for the Two Guys Garage podcast.
Yeah, don't forget to check out our website, twoguysgarage.com, and we're everywhere on social at Two Guys Garage. This podcast is copyright 2024, Brenton Productions Incorporated, all rights reserved. Man, I'm looking forward to seeing some more of that RX-7.
You crazy rotary kid, man.
Yeah.
Crazy rotary kid.
Yeah, thank you.
Dude, 400 in that little package is going to be a screamer.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
And it should sound fun, too, man. They're very unique, and it's cool when somebody's got one just whizzing. And I'm sure you'll get the rest of the car. Man, I'm a proponent that you don't have to have the shiniest, most expensive paint job. Just be out there with your style, your flavor, and rip it. And that's, man, that's as much as you can hope for. So hopefully we'll see you out there doing all those things.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate that.
All right.
Yeah, appreciate
hope you guys
it, man.
Enjoyed it, man. We'll get these guys back because there's so many more tips, tricks, and little ins and outs. So we'll see you guys again soon. Hope you enjoyed it. The Two Guys Garage Podcast.
Two Guys Garage Podcast is a production of Brenton Productions. For more episodes, visit iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.